This is Adam, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Thank you. earth and prematurely ended my career. I thought out loud, but no one heard me say it. Nothing is enough and nothing's something that's important to me. That's right. And everyone's a little nothing, that's okay, that's how it should be. That's right. That's right. Shall sha, shall do.
Welcome back. This is Adam. You're listening to Actual Mixtapes on WMFO. In studio today, I have special guest, Annie. You want to say hello?
Hi, everyone.
Today, we were going to do a show of cover songs, but instead, we're going to do a little bit of a tribute to a former place that we both worked called Club Down Under in Tallahassee, Florida. Pretty small venue around 350 capacity, technically. Sometimes for certain shows like Girl Talk, people try to get in more than that. For people that are listening in Boston, that's comparable to basically the Sinclair in Harvard Square. So imagine a venue like that, much older, a little bit grungier, completely student run, and then a few staff administrators from a university. And placed in the middle of a campus between a Chili's, an Einstein Bagels, and a Quiznos. But once you entered the doors, you very much felt like you were in a venue like the Sinclair. And the history of it went back to the 60s. Any favorite stories, Annie, that you had heard from the past, from before us? Because we both got there in 2007.
Yeah, I think you know, it used to be a bookstore. It used to, I think, serve food. But when you go in, there's all the funky furniture. It just felt very, didn't feel like you were on a college campus anymore, which was awesome.
Yeah, and the furniture was kind of compiled over the years. We always tried to pick up from like Goodwill furniture that was easily cleaned because people would spill stuff on it. It just got kind of gross. Maybe we're not doing the best job selling if the experience was like there, but really kind of an incredible spot to have on campus.
It kind of became home for everyone that worked there, and mm-hmm. you know, it was the best job I'll probably ever have.
And the history of it's interesting. It went back to the late 60s, and there were comedy shows like Steve Martin played there, and then many, many, many bands that kind of went on to blow up played like their initial tours there. So like Stone Temple Pilots, Sonic Youth played on a Daydream Nation tour there.
Flaming Lips
played there a bunch of times. And then, of course, like the bands that sort of broke in the 2000s, like Death Cab for Cutie, Rilo Kiley, Modest Mouse.
Yellow Card
did play there. We did our part to just kind of keep the tradition going in the 4 years that we were there. A few bands did blow up in the wake of bookings there. And a lot of comedians, too.
Yeah. It's people I see on Netflix now, I'm like, oh, I first saw them at Club Down Under.
Yeah, shout out to our comedy bookers from the times there. That was something that we put some focus in. We're not going to play any comedy on today's show, unfortunately, because it's very hard to vet for curses. And, you know, alters from the format of the show a bit. But, we had Tiffany Haddish played there. We had
Tig Notaro,
yeah. Fred Armisen. Hannibal Buress played, I think, like a Halloween show.
Yeah.
Really great place to work. Kind of amazing. So we'll be going through some of our favorite shows from those years. If you're into the kind of blog music genre of the late to mid 2000s.
So we were both there 2007 to 2011.
Yeah. So kind of the peak of, you can imagine, some of the bands that were popular at that time. So we'll go through some of our favorite shows from that time. We'll play some bands from that era and share some stories of people like our security guard, Officer Bowie. We'll come back to that. Annie, do you have any bands you want to start with? I could say that the first few we played, Bill Callahan was one of the first shows I remember seeing there. Ben Queller we had. And the National was that first semester that we were both there.
Yes. I actually missed that show, sadly. Oh, I heard really? So much about it later on. But do you want to tell the story about Fake Empire?
I can start it. And if I miss anything, okay, fill in. So one of the National's first songs that really broke, maybe the song that broke them, was Fake Empire, which was on Boxer, their 2007 release. They had played the club, I think, 2 years before that show in 2005. And we had this kind of old piano, like the kind of piano you'd have on stage in, like, you know, a high school stage, like in the back of it. It played, it wasn't perfect. But the band wrote that opening piano riff on that piano. And it was kind of like a thing that had been talked about a little bit. And then when the band played in fall 2007, they actually unprompted said it and told a little bit of the story of it and how they were excited to come back to Tallahassee to play Club Down Under. Because it was the site of the place where that little moment of inspiration hit and one of their big songs broke.
We could never throw away that piano. We're getting rid of it.
Hopefully they still have it.
Yeah.
We'll just say right now, so this club that we're referring to has sadly been knocked into Annie's face, which is very sad right now. It's been temporarily displaced, we'll call it. The location has already moved several times, so it's been in different buildings, and it was an above ground venue when we were there, but it initially was underground, which is caused a lot of confusion, as you can imagine. People were like, why is this called Club Down Under? It's above ground. The new version of it that they are currently building, and I think opening fall 2020.
I think that's right.
2020 is probably the normal person way to say that. That one will be again underground. So,
anyway. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's an interesting design. We'll discuss it offline. Anything you wanna hop into here?
No, I think, one of the first shows I remember going to was, I think, Tokyo Police Club, which was, I think, my first introduction to, like, a new band that I didn't really know and then kind of listened to before I went to the show and kind of got into. That became kind of my regular thing. If I didn't already know the band, I tried to just listen to whatever was coming in the next month, and usually I liked the band, so... I think that was one of the first shows that fall.
Any songs you like in particular from that era?
I'm trying to think.
Your English Is Good is their was their hit from that era.
I mean, I remember that one for sure because everyone went a little crazy. but yeah, that was a great show. That was, I think, the nice part about it being such a small club was that the shows always felt pretty intimate, and you got to see bands that, you know, went on to be huge, and you got to see them up close and personal.
All right, well, with that, we'll play some Tokyo Police Club, and we will be back afterwards.
your blood with formaldehyde. Monsters. Whiskey plied, voices cried, fratricide. Jesus, don't you know that you could have died? You should have died. Or with the monsters at all. Monsters who walk the earth. And she's got red lipstick and a bright pair of shoes. And she's got knee-high socks, what to cover it blues. She's got an old death kit she's been meaning to you. She's got blood in her eyes for you. She's got blood in her eyes for you. Stripes and plaids, singles ads, they run you hot and cold like a real stat. Mean a thermostat, so you bite on a towel. Hope it won't hurt you bad. My dewy eyed, dizzy brow, what is tried? Swapping your blood with formaldehyde. What monsters to talk? Monsters who walk the earth. And she says, I like long walks and sci-fi movies. You're 6 foot tall and East Coast bred. Someone and I, we can get together. And I wanna tie your wrist with leather and drill a tiny hole into your head.
Cruel world, where I belong.
Welcome back. You are listening to Actual Mixtapes, 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Sitting here with Annie, we are discussing our time at Club Down Under and basically the music of the late 2000s, early 2010s. Stuff that, you know, if you read Stereo Gum and Pitchfork and You Ain't No Picasso and all those blogs at that time, hopefully very familiar stuff here. So we're talking about some of our favorite shows. Annie, any others that come to mind?
You know, there were, there were so many. I mean, we had, what, 3 to 5 a week, I think?
Yeah, or some, most weeks, yeah.
Yeah. I remember Fanagram was a really good show. The Books, Jens Lehmann, Mates of State, Matt and Kim were fun.
Any shows that were kind of overwhelming to have to work?
Well, my first show I worked was Girl Talk. And
notorious one.
Yeah, I wasn't technically on staff, so I was a volunteer, and I was working side door, which...
I apologize.
Yeah. In the club, you know, there's two levels, and so side door was... kind of working in the middle of the stairs to let people in and out, or hopefully not in. That was against the rules. But, you know, people could leave that way. And someone knocked on the door trying to get in and offered to pay me $60 to come in. And I was a good staffer, and I said no. Then I remember they tried to push their way in, and luckily a fellow volunteer, Lucas Suvek, was standing nearby and helped me barricade the door so they couldn't get in.
Lucas was famously brave.
Yes, famously. but that was a great first kind of view of working the club.
Yeah, and for anyone that's not familiar with Girl Talk, or doesn't quite remember the peak of Girl Talk. So he used to have t-shirts that said like, I'm not a DJ. And he was kind of like a mashup artist, is I think how he classified himself. And so he would kind of do the cut and paste, but like incredible amounts of layers in his music, like probably each song sampled 50 to 100 different tracks. And then he would piece it together into something somewhat coherent, and then basically would put out an album usually for free. I think at least one or two of his albums were free because he had some copyright issues because he was pulling from so many different artists. But his whole thing was the live show, and his live show, he would invite people up on stage, and our stage, if you can picture the Sinclair, but actually about a foot and a half off the ground stage, maybe 2 feet off the ground. Instead of being 4 feet off the ground, that's kind of what we were dealing with. And so at that first show that you worked, which was January 2008, probably.
Was it? Okay. I thought it was the fall, but...
No, it was
yeah,
January,
it was,
yeah. Because I remember it was surprisingly cold for Tallahassee outside.
Yeah.
And inside was like 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Because it was just like jam-packed room. And everyone was moving and dancing. So the walls were just like sweating, like the condensation. And I remember Greg, who's Girl Talk, invites everyone up on stage. And the stage is just not big enough to support more than like 20 people. And someone kicked the wire out and it stopped the show midway through. And like people were pushing and it was just... It was hell to staff that show.
I think he like saran wraps his...
Oh, yeah. His laptop.
His laptop.
Yeah.
And just because it was pretty disgusting up there.
Yeah. It was very much him, you know, like Diplo makes jokes about this now, but like Girl Talk show was very much him hitting play on iTunes and then kind of like moving around to get people hyped up. We later did a show at the Moon, which was our off-campus venue that we did shows at 1,500 capacity. And... it was similar, but they had a system in place at that point. Like there was a certain moment during the show where people came up, and then there was a certain moment where you stopped people, and then they just danced on stage, and no one could kind of come or go at that point. Whereas the show at the club, which was a much, you know, a quarter of the size venue, you just couldn't do that. So
There were some, you know, crazier shows. I think Lucero played, and I got proposed to again at Side Door. That was fun.
Was that part of someone sneaking in and out, or is that
just I think an older crusty man just chatting me up?
You never know when opportunities will arise, right?
No, I should have taken advantage. No, it was always I liked sitting Side Door because you kind of got a good view of the whole show, and lots of people stopped to talk to you, and it was kind of more fun than sitting back door, which was guarding the back entrance where you couldn't see the show.
But yeah, the danger of a venue like that too is there's always a risk that a band you book or a comic or whoever could blow up, like in the time between you booking them and then when they show up, which for the most part is a really good thing. Like, you know, you want the shows to be successful, you want people to show up, but sometimes basically they get so big so fast that there's not even time to move the show, so you just kind of have to deal with a crowd of 1,000 in a space that does not hold 1,000 people. You know, there was one show we booked. I will say we were a little bit coerced into doing it by the powers that be in our building, but this guy David Cook had just won American Idol. I'll try not to waste too much airtime on this. But he had a Facebook group of fans that called themselves the Cougars for Cook, which were some ladies that were big fans. We were getting all kinds of weird messages because he announced on, I think, the Today Show right after he won American Idol, and this was when American Idol was a bigger deal, that he was going to do a full-on college tour and kick it off in Tallahassee, Florida. And so we started getting like weird phone calls and messages. People were bribing our front desk students about similar things, you know, $100 if you could just hold me one ticket, because our on sale was an in-person thing. And we just had a hard cutoff. And then actually on the day of the show, it was just the most tame thing ever because we had such limited tickets for that one. That show was kind of phony because in their rider, he asked for the like kind of 3-foot stacks, like Marshall stacks cabinets for his audio. So like the speakers behind him on stage. So he looked like a true quote unquote rock star. And we were like, we don't have the power to like the kind of setup he wanted was like a stadium level setup. And they go, oh, we're not going to plug them in. It's literally just for a stage decoration. And at that moment, I knew that I was right to battle back against booking that show. But we did it anyway.
Not a typical Club Down Under show for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back into the music. Any bands that just kind of remind you of the club where you're like, oh, that was a real CDU band?
I think when I hear Maids of State, that's very like 2008 in my mind.
Yes, Maids of State, if you're not familiar, husband and wife duo who also traveled with a little baby, who I imagine now is like almost an adult at this point.
A human, yeah.
Yeah, definite human. Who had those, like, first time I ever saw a baby with those hilarious headphones on that you see at festivals now. Okay, so let's get back into music. This is Maids of State, My Only Offer.
Pretend face in front of me, debating a life, sucked out the energy. Build up a wall made out of finer things, piled it high so we could barely see it. And it's my only offer.
Yeah.
we're back.
Welcome back. Annie, there was one band that we both really loved, a lot of a fan favorite, that tragically came to an end recently. We're going to play something from them. Do you want to talk a little bit about seeing them?
So Frightened Rabbit is a Scottish band out of Glasgow, and they were touring with We Were Promised Jetpacks and The Twilight Sad, also two other great Scottish bands. And so that was in, I want to say, fall 2009 that they played at the club. And that was kind of the first time I heard them. And another one of our coworkers, Annalie, was a big fan and turned me on to them before the show. And I thought it was just such a great live show. Scott Hutchinson's voice is just incredible. And sadly, he committed suicide, died by suicide, not that long ago. And so there's a lot of tributes going on right now. And I think they're, you know, coming out with some kind of tribute cover albums. But if you haven't listened to him, his voice is just incredible. And I think, that might have been one of the first tours they did in the U.S. I can't say that for sure, but they kind of came out with they've had a lot of albums since then. That was off of, touring off of the Midnight Organ Fight, which is kind of their breakthrough album, biggest hits.
And we're gonna play two songs by Frightened Rabbit. If you have any other requests you want to hear from the 2007 to 2011 period, we have plenty here to choose from. But you can shoot me a message on Instagram at Actual Mixtapes. But for now, this is Frightened Rabbit.
to mark her line. All I am is a body adrift in water, salt and sky. So I swear.
Are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Face when it's all